population on the earth. Women's inequality has profoundly affected our world. Just thought I'd share that with you. So that Bible that we use is called the NRSV. Anybody know what that stands for? Don't. Thank you. New Revised Standard Version. And basically, it is a scholarly reading of the text after years and years of research. And I have no doubt that somewhere down the road, there will be a new one, like this morning, called the CRSV, Claire's Revised Standard Version. Why is that funny? Remember that whole thing on hell? Yeah. Nancy, if you wouldn't mind reading those scriptural pieces again, and I will interpret what they mean based
then,
on this
and
new...
And then you're going to pay off your school debts because this is going to be worth a ton of money.
Go ahead.
John said to him, "Teacher, we saw someone casting out demons in your name, and we tried to stop him because he was not following us."
So here's the subtext of what was really being said. What a bunch of whiners. They so much want Jesus to like them best and see them as the most qualified that they miss the entire point of his ministry.
But Jesus said, "Do not stop him, for no one who does a deed of power in my name will be able soon afterward to speak evil of me."
So Jesus is kindly offering, hey, leave them alone. They're just trying to help things, help people, make things better. Knock it off.
Whoever is not against us is for us.
Don't you get it? This isn't about you. There is a greater good here.
For truly I tell you, whoever gives you a cup of water to drink because you bear the name of Christ will by no means lose the reward.
Why do you need to take the credit? Are you that insecure that you need me to like you better than I like them? Is your ego so fragile that you fail to see when someone else is taking a risk in my name?
If any of you put a stumbling block before one of these little ones who believe in me, it would be better for you if a great millstone were hung around your neck and you were thrown into the sea.
Okay, so you're going to make them look bad so that you can look better and feel better about yourself. Well, right there, you're blowing it because I'm going to tell you right now, you don't look any better.
If your hand causes you to stumble, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life maimed than to have two hands and go to hell, to the unquenchable fire.
Hey, if you're going to follow me, you better get used to not taking the credit for being special. Otherwise, you are going to have a miserable existence. You better understand that there will be others just as necessary as you, who are just as needed as you think you are.
And if your foot causes you to stumble, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life lame than to have 2 feet and to be thrown into hell.
Is your ego so fragile that you would risk doing what is right and instead ignore what I have taught you? Don't you understand that you are on the wrong path if you are so easily distracted from what is right and good?
And if your eye causes you to stumble, tear it out. It is better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than to have 2 eyes and to be thrown into hell.
You are better off giving up your ego and your sense of superiority than letting it get in the way of seeing and doing what is right and just.
Where their worm never dies and the fire is never quenched.
Otherwise, you are sacrificing your sense of self and humanity and your very own relationship with the divine.
For everyone will be salted with fire.
You have a great opportunity here. Don't blow it. Just because you feel that you need to feel more secure and better than you actually are.
Salt is good, but if salt has lost its saltiness, how can you season it? Will salt have salt in yourselves and be at peace with one another?
Because if you put yourself and your own welfare ahead of others, your welfare, your ego, your greatness, your power, your gender, your race, your socioeconomic status, your nationality, your political affiliation and wealth, I think you get it, then you will never find peace. You know, the brilliance of this writing, not mine, this writing, or maybe mine, but this writing is what I'm talking about, is that while Jesus' disciples are complaining about others casting out demons in his name, a feat, by the way, that they were not able to do in the previous little story, you can Google it and find it later, they are exposing their own demons to Jesus. They are exposing their demons of jealousy and insecurity, superiority, fear, the desiring of power and position, their own self-image lifted up only by the idea that Jesus likes them better than others. Here they are exposing themselves and the demons that they carry. You know, we hear demons, and I know it's coming around Halloween, so we're thinking all spooky, scary stuff, and they are spooky and scary. Don't let me mislead you there, but they come in all shapes and sizes. If I say the word to you or the phrase to you, personal demons, how many of you can probably name a few? If your hand isn't up, then you're a liar and that's a demon, so get your hand up. We may have some demons that are very similar to what the disciples had in this story, right? But we also have those events in our lives that haunt us and cause us to suffer and be really blind to our own realities. If we have suffered and been traumatized and have not dealt with those traumas, then we can inadvertently carry those demons with us, spilling that insecurity of judgment and shame into our present relationships without even realizing that we're doing it. Personal demons can be extraordinarily debilitating, and they can take on lives of their own. We've seen this through addictions, through the shames that we carry, any fear of rejection we may have, any family issues that are underlying but really have influence on our lives, any type of abuse that either we have been on the receiving end or have perpetrated ourselves. These demons can haunt us and keep us from living our productive life and our self-affirming lives. Oftentimes, these can be demons that are not necessarily inflicted on us by our own choices, but nevertheless keep us trapped until we do our work, right? Until we do the work necessary to free ourselves of the power of these demons. You know what I mean. Confession, therapy, risking sharing these things with loved ones, confronting your fears, all those things that we love to do from day to day. There are also corporate demons. Demons that are instilled on us by a culture and by society in which we live. Demons like race, racism. The demon that shows us that the benefits that come to us while being of a certain class or race, while all the time knowing that we are privileged and yet we ignore, that is a social demon. Often our response can be one of diminishing the other, so that we don't have to deal with the fact that simply by chance we are in a better place most of the time. If we can point out that someone is less than, you know, like casting out demons in Jesus' name, even though they're not in the in-group, then we can feel better about ourselves, at least in the short term. In the long term, I pretty much think that we'll feel pretty crappy about our status. That's a theological term. And we'll either give in to the guilt and the shame of feeling privileged for whatever reason, or we will lash out at those who appear to be trying to steal our power because, well, you know, they're one of those people. We may become defensive. We may become belligerent. And we may even feel that we are the victim because we perceive that someone else is trying to steal our power. Oh, you all know what I'm talking about because we saw some pretty intense demons at work this week. A shadow of shame and embarrassment may keep someone from speaking against the horror of their experiences until one day the fate of something greater seems to be realized as a greater priority. Repercussions greater than one's own comfort and safety seem to take the fore and someone steps forward. Yet in the same scenario, we can see a demon who has imposed privilege and power, challenged to the point that one's inner self felt victimized because they were expecting to be held accountable for a hurt they brought up on another. And as such, they responded hostily. Demons come in all shapes and sizes and are most damaging when we convince ourselves that these demons are actually our friends and that yielding to them is in our best interest. Jesus' admonition to his immediate followers wasn't just about calling them out and putting them in the place. On the contrary, it was done out of love as an attempt to literally save them, to save their hearts, their souls, their entire beings by showing them that there are more important things than their sense of power and superiority at play in this world. That if they were to choose those demons over the life that he was calling them to, they would suffer a worse existence, an existence even more deplorable than the fires of hell. He was imploring them, let go of those ways that you use to act in this world. Those ways that insist upon putting your needs and feelings and power and position and entitlement ahead of others. Don't you see that holding on to these things that you think are so great, these attitudes which you think define you, will actually cost you your sense of well-being? This will cost you your very own humanity. And he's further telling them that it would cost them their ability to truly know the divine. No wonder Jesus said that their lives would be better in hell than the lives they were choosing, as they were choosing to isolate themselves further from the common people and humanity. In this reading, Jesus is telling his disciples, let go of the demons. The demons of pride. The demons of privilege, the demons of ego and entitlement, so that you can truly understand the life I am calling you to, that you can truly appreciate and really experience the life of God as I have experienced. You require humility, he was saying, and hard work, and not being afraid of suffering or inclusion or equality with those that you previously thought of as less than. When you can rid yourself of those demons, forgive yourself of those things that cause you shame, relieve yourself of those privileges and ideology that falsely present you as better than, when you can request forgiveness when you need it and offer it when it is not requested, when you can do all of these things, then you will no longer be plagued by demons, either personal or corporate. The message is harsh. At least it sounds harsh. But I really do think that Jesus is coming from a place of pleading with his disciples. Like, come on, you guys. Really? After all this time, you're not getting it? Knock it off. You're better than this. He's just letting them know there's something greater. If you follow me, it means that you are seeking a light of humility. You are seeking a life of being compassionate. It means that you are seeking the ability to see when one is wrong or when you have done wrong towards another. It is about learning to have a listening heart and a willingness to embrace others in the midst of their pain. It is a willingness to reject your defensiveness while someone calls you into accountability. And if you follow me, it is a willingness to seek forgiveness and reconciliation. I hate confronting my demons. It makes me feel small and afraid. It makes me feel powerless. It makes me feel ashamed. But we all need to know our demons, be they personal or corporate, so they don't keep us from the promise of a life in which we are called and invited to flourish. We need to know our demons so that we can reach our full humanity. We must dispel our demons so that we can truly know and feel and surrender to the life and love that awaits us in the here and now, in the arms of our beloved. Let the people say, amen.